Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. You will notice at the upper part of Daf Yud a Mishnah 4 lines from the top of the page. The Mishnah says, Ein pochasin me'esrim v'achas tkiyos v'mikdosh v'loi moisifin al arboim u'shmoina. There will be no fewer than 21 shofar blasts and no more than 48. As we go on in the Mishnah, focus will be paid to instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein pochasin mishnei nevolim v'lo mosifin al shisha. There shall be no fewer than 2 nevel instruments and no more than 6 of them. Ein pochasin mi shnei chalilin v'lo mosifin al shneim osar. There shall be no fewer than 2 chalil instruments and no more than 12. U'b'shneim osar yom v'shona, 12 days during the year, ha'cholil make lefnei ha'mizbeach. The chalil instrument will be played. And this is played during the offering of korbonos, during the sacrificial ceremony. The word make literally means to hit, but this chalil is a wind instrument, very possibly something like a flute, a tubular instrument with holes in it, and in order to change or alter the tone, so one would use his finger to cover the holes sporadically. This action of the finger coming down and covering the hole and then releasing it, the hitting of the hole, if you will, is what's referred to by the term makeh. So it's a reference to the playing of the instrument. So 12 days during the year, the chalil was the instrument played during the sacrificial ceremony. What are those 12 days? B'shchitas Pesach Rishon u'b'shchitas Pesach Sheni, the time during the offering of the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and Pesach Sheni on the 14th of Iyar, the Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach on the first day of Pesach, ube Yom Tov Shel Atzeres on the day of the Shavuos holiday, ube Shmoinis Yemei HaChag, and the 8 days of Sukkis. 8 days of Sukkis meaning your basic Sukkis plus Shmini Atzeres. Be'abuv Shel Nechoshes, now the term abuv is chalil, is the same thing, the same instrument was mentioned before. You'll notice we've dashed underlined the term abuv and a few lines above chalil to create this connection. The abuv is the same as the chalil, and the Mishnah says that they would not use a copper nechoshes chalil, elo ba'abuv shel kona, a reed abuv or chalil, that nei shekolu or even had a pleasant sound, as opposed to the nechoshes, which was less pleasant. Velo hoya mechalik elo ba'abuv yichidi. The word mechalik means to end off. In other words, as the song or the tune was closing, it would close with the playing of just one chalil. So that even though the Mishnah says there aren't fewer than 2, if they whatever number they had, but at the closing notes, it would close with a singular instrument. But neshu machlik yofe, because such a closing is pleasant. We now go on in the Mishnah with 3 opinions as to who were the instrumentalists playing the chalil. Opinion 1, the avdei kohanim hoyu, divrei Rabbi Meir, that they were avodim, they were slaves of kohanim. Number 2, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachas Beis Pegorim, Ubeis Tzifra, Me'am'um, Hoyu, Masi in the Kuna. they were members of these families from Pegorim and Sifra, from the place, there was a place called Amum. They came from there, and they were of pure descent in terms of their genealogy, so that they would marry into families of Kohanim. Kohanim having a higher level, a higher a standard, if you will, a more restrictive standard as to who could marry them. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer Leviim Hoyu. Rabbi Chanina says that the players of the Chaliol were Leviim. The opening section of the Gemara deals with the numbers of shofar blasts that were referred to. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei, the topic heading that we've provided to introduce this particular section. Under our Nosei, we've written, Machlokes Rabbonin Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see a Tanaic controversy between these two opinions. E nechshav tkiya trua tkiya ki yechida achas o kisholosh mitzvahs. When we speak about a shofar blast, it's made up of a tkiya, which is a solid or singular type blast. A trua is a staccato type sound, and a tkiya once again followed by a singular, single tonal shofar blast. So that a standard, when we speak about a shofar blast, it's made of three parts: a tkiya before and a tkiya after, the trua in the middle. Is that considered one mitzvah, one unit, or three units? There now, the nafka mina im efshel lahafsik tzas bein hatkiya l'trua. There will be a practical difference in how to look at this. If you look at it as a single unit, then you can't pause between the tkiya and trua, the solid blast and the staccato blast. However, if they're considered three separate entities, then a pause will be in order. A slight pause could be made. Our Gemara opens up Masnisen Delo Karebi Yehuda. Regarding the our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Our Mishnah mentioned the minimum of 21 tkiyas, maximum 48. That's not like Rebbe Yehuda. In according to our Mishnah, each tkiya and trua is considered a separate entity. And as we said, there is no every trua has a tkiya before and after. We're going to see very shortly that Rabbi Yehuda does not consider the tkiya, trua, and tkiya as separate entities, but as one unit. So bear in mind, our Mishnah mentioned minimum, maximum, 21 and 48. The Gemara says that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda Desanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hapoches Lo Yivchois Misheva. There will be no fewer than seven shofar blasts. V'hamoisif lo yosif al sheish esrei. And there will be no more than 16. Curiously, the numbers 7 and 16 are one-third of the numbers mentioned in the Mishnah, 21 and 48. 21 is 3 times 7, and 48 is made of 3 times 16. So we see there's certainly a connection between these two opinions, but there's a difference. B'mai komifliki, what's the point of controversy based on? Rebbe Yehuda Sofar, tkiya trua tkiya chadahi. That unit called tkiya trua tkiya is considered one sound, one entity. And hence, you will have no fewer than seven of those units on any given day. And when we speak about which days, the specific days are referred to in detail in Maseches Sukkah, in the fifth perek. Which days had increased numbers of tkiyas. That is not the purview of our current discussion, simply to say that there were different numbers of tkiyas depending on what holiday was being celebrated, or if you were dealing with a standard weekday. But the numbers ranged between, according to our Mishnah, 21 and 48, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, 7 and 16. Why does Rabbi Yehuda look at the three these sounds, tkiya, trua, tkiya, as one unit. And the Rabbanan, they look at each one separately. So we continue in the Gemara after reading here, Rabbanan, Sabri, tkiya, l'chud, trua, l'chud, tkiya, l'chud. The Rabbanan who are represented in our Mishnah, they say that each element, the tkiya and the trua, are separate elements. My time of the Rebuta, with our markings, we've highlighted where you see the makoros for each one of the shitas. So here the Gemara deals with what's Rebuta's source, and later what the Rabbanan's source. My time of the Rebuta. Why? What is the reason for Rebuta that he views Tkiya, Trua, and Tkiya as one entity? Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Uskatem Trua, Uksiv Trua Yisko, Shmamino, Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya, Chadahi. Rashi explains, Uskatem Trua, Alma, Litrua, Kori Tkiya, Ulitkiya, Trua. The Pasuk says, Uskatem, using the verb form, Utkatem, which is similar to the word Tkiya, but the verb, it's the verb blow, Trua. And then you see Trua, Yisko. So that from these psukim you see that the term tkiya and trua are interchangeable, and the reason, and what does that show us? That they're really one in the same. The Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with these two psukim that was just cited by Rabbi Yehuda? Hahu, he, the Rabbanan, used that those psukim l'pshuta l'fonel u'pshuta l'achareh hu da'asa. Pshuta is the tkiya, the single blast. The trua is the staccato blast. So when you look at the psukim that were just quoted, the first pasuk, at the beginning of the line, the three lines up, you see uskatem trua. So the word tkiya appears before the word trua. And the second pasuk on that same line, you have the word trua followed by the word tkiya. So from this, the Rabbanan learn that these psukim are telling us that for every trua blast, there must be a preceding and a subsequent tkiya blast. So that on either side of the trua, you have a tkiya. Rabbanan Maitaimo, what is the basis of the Rabbanan saying that each sound is a separate mitzvah? Dechtiv. There's a posik that says, Uvahakil es hakahol, tiska'u velo sariu. When the people are gathered, you shall do a tkiya and not a trua. V'isalkadai tkiya trua tkiya chadahi. If you were to think that they form one unit, so Omar Rachmona Ovid Palga the mitzvah? Would the Torah come and tell me to do half a mitzvah? And yet this pasuk says Tiske'u Velo Tariu, blow a tkiya and not a trua. So it must mean that they're separate mitzvahs, they're separate entities, and therefore in the pasuk Vahakil is telling me do this one and not the other. Because if they were really one and the same, how could the Torah be telling me do half a mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk that was just cited by the Rabbanan is Simona Ba'almahu. That pasuk is a clarion cry to gather the people together, but it's not a shofar blowing l'shem mitzvah. It's not a commandment oriented pasuk, but rather it's a means of making a communal gathering. A type of siren announcing that people should get together. Keman az la ha de amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana has the following statement, and we want to know which Tana would be the source of Rav Kahana's point. Rav Kahana says, Ein bein tkiya l'trua v'lo klum. That in making the sounds of tkiya and trua, there shall be no gap whatsoever. Keman, who would say that? Kerebi Yehuda. That would conform to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Tkiya Trua are one entity, so that you shouldn't pause in the middle of doing a singular, what he views as a singular act. The Gemara asks Pshita, well, it's obvious that Rav Kahana is in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Mahu Detema, without Rav Kahana, without the Gemara pointing out that Rav Kahana conforms to Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought, Afilu Kerabonan Asya, that Rav Kahana's point comes out like the Rabbanan as well. Ulafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, and all that Rav Kahana was trying to accomplish was to tell me not to go like Rabbi Yochanan, that said, Rabbi Yochanan said, Shoma teisha tkiyas b'teisha shos b'yom yotza, that if a person heard the basic nine Torah-required shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah over the course of 9 hours, that means one sound every hour over 9 hours, yotza, so one would fulfill. So I would think that maybe that's a gap of an hour between each sound, that already is going too far. However, a slight gap between each sound would be in order. And that's what the Chachamim would hold, being that they're three separate. Each sound is considered a separate mitzvah, so if you're blowing a tkiyah, true tkiyah, you could take a slight pause between each one. And all Rav Kahana was trying to say was not to go like Rabbi Yochanan, but not that Rav Kahana was to the exclusion of the Rabbanan. Kamash Molon, this is the very point that our Gemara reveals, that Rav Kahana's comment is within Rabbi Yehuda alone. The aim of Hochinami, well, maybe Rav Kahana really was saying something according to the Rabbanan as well. The Gemara answer is no. It's clear from Rav Kahana's words that he was speaking only within Rabbi Yehuda, im kain, because if otherwise, if it's so that Rav Kahana was according to the Rabbanan as well, my velo klum, why did Rav Kahana add the expression velo klum, which is mashma, which implies no pause whatsoever? So from the fact that he said you're not allowed to make any pause whatsoever, that can be explained only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that tkiyah trua, tkiyah is one singular entity. 12 days during the year, the korbanos of those 12 days were done with the accompaniment of the chalil. My shno hani, what is the significance of those 12 days? Answer, hoyol v'yochid goymer bohen esahalo. During those 12 days, a person, even in private, would recite the entire halel. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, Shmoino Asar Yomim, Shayochid Gomer Bohen Esahaleo. There are 18 days on the calendar when a person would say a complete Halel, namely the Halel that is said without skipping the two paragraphs that we are familiar with when we recite the Halel on, let us say, Rosh Chodesh, which is not one of these days where we skip, for example, the Lo Lono and the Ohavti paragraphs. So we're referring right now to days that the entire Halel was said. Now we just had a number 18. We shouldn't get confused with the reference to 12 days that we mentioned just before. We will come back to this very point very shortly. Rabbi Shimon, it was said in the name of Rabbi Shimon HaTzadok that 18 days during the year a person would recite the entire Halel. They are as follows: Shmoina Yemei HaChag, 8 days of Sukkot; Shmoina Yemei Hanukkah, 8 days of Hanukkah. Now, immediately we note that Hanukkah wasn't mentioned above in the Mishnah as holy days, because Hanukkah was not a holiday in which sacrifices were offered. And our Mishnah is dealing with the musical accompaniment to sacrificial offering. So we continue in our counting here. V'yom tov horishon shel Pesach, v'yom tov shel Atzeres. So what that accounts for, if you have here, you have 8 of Sukkot and 8 of Hanukkah, that's 16, and the first day of Pesach and the first day of Shavuos, that's another 2, so that you get to 8 and 8 was 16, plus 2 is 18. Those are 18 days when a complete Hallel was recited. Now you take off of the 18, the 8, in making our accounting, we're not going to count Hanukkah as those days. But we did mention that there would be during the offering of the Korban Pesach, of Pesach Rishon and Nisan and Pesach Sheni and Iyar, those 2 days are added, so to speak. So we reduced the 8 from Hanukkah, but we add these 2, giving us 12 days for the Holiel playing in the Beis HaMikdash. Uvagoyla Esrim the echad, as far as days that a private individual would say in a complete hallel, that in the diaspora there were 21 days. Tisha yemei hachag, Sukkot in the diaspora is made of 9 days. Ushmoina yemei Hanukkah, that's the same all over, 8 for Hanukkah. Ushnei yomim tovim shel Pesach, 2 days of Pesach. Ushnei yomim tovim shel Atzeres, and the 2 days that make up the Shavuos holiday. Maishno b'chag di amrinon kol yoima. What is different about Sukkot that every day of the Sukkot holiday, the entire Hallel was recited? Umaishno b'Pesach deloy amrinon kol yoima, as opposed to Pesach, which is also a full week holiday, but only the first day of Pesach had the entire Hallel recited. So once again, the question is, why? What's the difference between Sukkot that every day warranted an entire Hallel recitation, as opposed to Pesach, which had only one day of an entire Hallel recitation? The Gemara answers, Dechag Chalukin B'Korbanoseim. The days of Sukkot were at the top of Yud Amid Beis. Each day of Sukkot had a different number of korbanos offered. It wasn't standardized. The Pesach, each day of Pesach, ain chalukin b'korbanoseim. There wasn't any distinction between the holidays offered on any one given day of Pesach. There was no distinction between one day from another. So that because of this difference in from day to day with regard to Sukkot, each day was considered, we'll say, a different experience, generating a new Hallel requirement, as opposed to Pesach, when you didn't have that. Before we go further in the Gemara, of course, you have just noticed a series of diamonds and also some double underlining. This is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You see a diamond featured, Yomim She'ein Oimrim Bohen Hallel. If we just skim through the Gemara, you see Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Purim. All of these words or holidays have diamonds around them, as we go on in the Gemara. HaGemara Tish'al Al Kol Echod Mehem. The Gemara will ask regarding each one of them, Lemo. The word Lemo, you'll also notice, is double underlined in the Gemara. Shiyagidu Hallel. Why not say Hallel in each one of these other days that are featured? Klomar Loma Lo Amrinon Behu Hallel. Why is it that we don't say on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, why don't we say Hallel? By the way, Rosh Chodesh is mentioned, but the Rosh Chodesh Hallel recitation is not mandated by the letter of the law. It's not Ikur Hadin. It's a minig. It's a custom that developed. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, it's not one of the mandated days. So let us now turn to the Gemara with the questions. Shabbos de Chalukah b'Korbanoseah. Shabbos is different in terms of the korbanos offered on Shabbos. Is different from a weekday, from Friday, from the day before. So if you say that a day in which there's korban differentiation, that's a reason for saying an entire Hallel, so say Hallel on Shabbos, Lema. The Gemara answers, Lo Ikri Moed. Another requirement for Hallel recitation is for the day in question to be called by the term Moed, and Shabbos is not referred to in the Torah by that word. Question, Rosh Chodesh de Ikri Moed Lema. When it comes to the beginning of a month, the Rosh Chodesh, there is a pasuk referring to Rosh Chodesh as Moed, so why don't we recite Hallel, as we said before, by letter of the law on Rosh Chodesh? Answer, Lo Iktish Basias Melocha. Well, another characteristic is it should be a day in which there is Melocha prohibition, where Melocha, constructive activity, which is characteristic of, let's say, Yom Tov, where it's also to do melachas. Rosh Chodesh is not like that. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Hashir ye lochem kaleil hiskadesh chag. That's a pasuk. Lailo hamekudesh lechag, a day that's sanctified. In this case, the pasuk says, a night that's sanctified with regard to prohibition of melacha. that kind of day, that's to'un shira. That requires shira. Shira is halel. V'she'ein mekudesh l'chag, if it's a day where there's no melacha restriction, ein to'un shira. It doesn't require shira. It doesn't require halel. So since Rosh Chodesh is not mekudesh, it's not sanctified by melacha cessation, therefore no halel. Question. Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim, the ikru moyed, the ikdush v'asiyas melacha, lema. Here we have two holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that have the necessary characteristics. They're called Moed, and they are restricted in Asiyas Melacha, and yet, Lema, so why don't we say Halal? Let it be recited. So the question is, why is it that on these two holidays there's no Halal recitation? The Gemara answers, Mishum de Rabbi Avo, based on Rabbi Avo's teaching, and you'll notice that we have a long marking with Rabbi Avo's name written and encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this marking are Rabbi Avo's teaching. The Omer Rabbi Avo, Omru Malachi Hashoris Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels said to the Almighty Ribbono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha Barosh Hashanah Uvim HaKippurim. Why is it that the Jewish people are not reciting Shira, song? Why are they not reciting the Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Omar Lahem. So the Almighty answers, Efshur Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Adin V'Sifrei Chayim V'Sifrei Meisim P'suchim Lefanav V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanai. It's simply not an appropriate. It's not an appropriate time for Hallel recitation. Hallel recitation is associated with joy, and on the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are days, they're referred to as the days of awe, in which in which everyone is standing in judgment in front of the King, in front of the Almighty. Which is not a time that we would associate with the outburst of joy that's characteristic of the other holidays. And since that's the state of mind during those holidays of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do not recite Hallel. The Gemara asks, V'ho Chanukah? Well, what are you going to say about Chanukah? D'lo hachi v'lo hachi v'komar. Chanukah is not called Moyed. And it's not a time of melacha restriction, and yet we do recite the Hallel. The Gemara answers, Mishum Nisa, because of the miracle, because of the salvation, the miraculous salvation of the Jewish people and the in the time of Hanukkah, so we recite Shira. Purim de'iko nisa lema. Well, Purim, there was salvation through miraculous means. Why on Purim is there no lema means we should say Hallel. Why, and why is it that we don't? As we skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, these are de'ois lama lo amrinon Hallel b'Purim, a series of opinions as to why, in fact, we don't say Hallel on Purim. To review the point, we say Hallel on Hanukkah because of the Nes, the miraculous salvation of the Jewish people. Why then on Purim do we not recite Hallel when that same element is present? Omer Yitzchok, lefi she'ein oimrim shiro al Nes shebechutzal la'aretz. The Purim salvation took place outside of the land of Israel. It took place in Persia. And Rav Yitzchok tells us that a rule that there is no recitation of Shira on miracles that happen outside the land of Israel. Maskif lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, v'arei yetzias Mitzrayim v'nei shebechutzo la'aretz hu v'amrinan halel. What about Pesach? Pesach was the redemption of the Jewish people from the land of Mitzrayim. And we do recite Hallel on Pesach, even though it was a miracle of Chutzal Arts, a miracle outside the land of Israel. Think of more answers. Hosam Kidesanya. There, the reason for our, in fact, reciting Hallel on Pesach is explained by the following Tanaic source. Ad Shalom Nichnesu Yisrael Arets, Huchshuru Kol Haratzus Lomar Shira. Prior to the Jews entering the land of Israel, so all other lands were acceptable for the recitation of Shira of Hallel. In other words, miracles that may have happened outside of Israel would generate the need for Hallel. Misha nechnasu la'aretz, however, once the Jews entered the land of Israel, lo hukshuru kol ha'aretzos lo mashira, all other lands were not deemed fit for the recitation of Hallel. Namely, incidents or events that happened outside of the land of Israel, once the Jews entered Israel, those other lands would not generate the Hallel recitation. Rav Nachman Omar, Kriyasa zu Halila. Rav Nachman also answers the question about Hallel on Purim. He says, listen, we have something instead. The reading of the Megillas Esther is, in effect, the singing of praise of the Almighty, so to speak. The reading is fulfills the function of what Hallel fulfills. Rava Omar. Rava offers his explanation as to why Purim does not have a Hallel recitation. Bishlamo Hasam, we understand well when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was also outside the land of Israel, but why there is a Hallel recitation. Hallelu, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. We say in the Hallel, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Let the Avdei Hashem sing praise. And the term Avdei Hashem serves to the exclusion of a low Avdei Paro. So we can say, upon the exodus from Mitzrayim, there is good reason for saying the Hallel, insofar as we can be described as what the Pasuk in the Hallel says, we're Avdei Hashem and no longer the servants of Paro. However, with regard to Purim, Hocha, in Purim, Hallelu Avdei Hashem v'lo Avdei Hashverosh, can we be described as Avdei Hashem and not the slaves of someone else and not the slaves of Achashverosh? Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We still were the enslaved to Achashverosh. We're still under his rule. Therefore, Purim is not an appropriate time for reciting the Hallel in which it says Avdei Hashem, which is exclusive of being enslaved to anyone else. Rav Nachman diomar kriyasa zuhi halila. According to Rav Nachman, that said the Megillah reading fulfills the role of Hallel. Hotanya, did we not learn in the Tanakh source above? We have little arrows to the side, to the immediate right hand side, more to help navigate. You can see where we said this above. Mishenichnesu laaretz lo hukshuru kol arotzus lo marshira. Once the Jews entered the land of Israel, so then you wouldn't recite Hallel concerning events outside of the land. So why did Rav Nachman have to even bother giving the answer of Kriyasa Zu Halila, that the recitation of the Megillas Esther fulfills the role of Hallel, when, according to the Brisa, the Purim miracle is reason, being that it took place outside the land of Israel, that enough is reason for no Hallel recitation. The Gemara answers, why did Rav Nachman have to say that we are fulfilling Hallel through the Megillah? Kevon shegalu chozu le'teron harishon. Once there was an exile that took place, and before the Purim story, the Jews had been exiled in the time of Nebuchadnezzar during the conquest of Babel. When Babel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were sent into exile. That reinstated lands outside the land of Israel as being fit for having a Hallel recitation. Lo hoya make ba'abuv shel nechoshes. In our Mishnah, we were taught not to use a copper abuv. The Gemara points out, Posach b'cholil u'mesayim ba'abuv. The Mishnah opened up this section dealing with a cholil, and then when continuing the discussion on this instrument, it changed the name to abuv. How do you account for that? Omer of Papa, Hainu Cholil, Hainu Abuv. In fact, they're one in the same. They're interchangeable terms. Ve'amai Kori Le Cholil. Why is an Abuv referred to by the word Cholil? Answer, the Choli Kole. Choli means sweet. So that Cholil is a description of the sound of the music that came forth from the Abuv instrument. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a Tanaic source, which is rather long, and also a series of geometric shapes indicating a series. In this case, the house form is used. In addition to that, we'll see a double underline presence as well. On the outside margin, you see under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the house is a reference to Kelim Shohayu BaMikdash, different vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, She'ovru Eizo Shehi Tikun Lo Mitzloch, that underwent some type of repair job that was not successful. The double underline will be highlighting the expression that repeats itself a couple of times. Ve'heviu umnim me'Alexandri shel Mitzrayim, where artisans were brought from Alexandria to repair the damage in question. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, abuv hoya b'mikdash, chalak hoya. There was an abuv instrument, and it was, as we mentioned earlier, it was a wood based instrument. So it was chaluf. Chaluk means it was smooth because the outer bark or peel that was on it was removed, so it was now smooth. Dak hoya. It was like a thin walled instrument. Shalkona hoya. It was made of a reed. Umimois Moshe hoya. And it was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzivo hamelech v'tzipuhu zohav. At a certain point in time, the king ordered it to be coated with gold. V'lo hoya kolo orev. The coating of gold diminished the sweetness of its sound. Notluas tzipuyo, they removed the gold coating, v'hoya kolo orev kemos shaya, and its sweet sound was restored to the way it had been. Tzitzel hoya b'mikdash. Rashi describes tzitzel shnei kelim makim ze al gabi ze, v'kolom daka, v'korin la, this French word. Rashi is describing a type of percussion instrument where the two parts were banged one on the other, and it produced a thin or high shrilling sound. So this tzitzel was in the mikdash shel nechoshes, so it was made of copper. The hoya kolo orev, and it had a very pleasant sound to it. The nifgam, it apparently experienced some type of dent. V'shochu chachamim v'heviu umnim malksan shel Mitzrayim. The chachamim sent for artisans to come from Alexandria. V'tiknuhu, and they repaired it. V'lohoya kolo orev. As a result of whatever they did, it diminished the sweetness of the sound that the tzilzul emitted. Notlu es tikuno, they removed whatever addition that was made as a repair, they removed that. V'hoya kolo orev kamos shoya, and the original sweet sound returned. Machteshes hoisa b'mikdash. Machteshes is a vessel associated with the grinding of the different spices or incense used for the ketores. So there was a machteshes in the mikdash. Shel nechoshes hoisa, was made of copper. Umos Moshe hoisa, was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Voisa mefatemes es habsamim, and it would be responsible for the creation of the sweet smell of the spices. Nispagma, and it experienced some type of dent. They brought artisans from Alexandria, v'tiknuhu, and they repaired it. V'lohoisa mifatemes kemos shehoisa. However, as a result of whatever they did, whatever addition they made is in repair of this machteshes, its spice or incense preparation quality became diminished. Notlu es tikuna, they removed whatever repair was done, they removed it. V'hoisa mefatemes kemosh hoisa, and it continued to its ability to prepare the incense in a fine way was restored. Elu shnei kelim nishtairu mimikdash rishon. These two vessels, the tzaltzal and the machteshes, they were both copper vessels, remained, or they were salvaged or hidden or preserved from the first Beis HaMikdash. The nifgimu, they experienced some type of of dent or damage. Velo hoyo lahem aruka, and they couldn't be successfully repaired without impairing their productive abilities. The Aleim Omar David, regarding these, David says in the Tanakh, Nechoshes Memurat, Nechoshes Moruk. These are psukim referring to copper vessels. Nechoshes Memurat, it's a very thin type vessel that could actually be, it was so thin it was flexible. Valeim Hu Omer, Ukle Nechoshes Mutzav, Toivo Shnayim Chamudos. And regarding them, this other pasuk was recited. Now the Gemara will refer to this pasuk immediately. Rav Ushmuel Chalomar Kol Echad VeEchad Shokul Kishnayim Shelzahav. Each one of the vessels that was referred to, as we said before, the Tzaltzel Nemachteshes, each one was valuable like two had they been made of gold. The Chad Omar, another opinion, is referring again to the pasuk of Shnayim Chamudos. Once the other opinion said, Shnayhem Shkulim Ke'echod Shel Zahav. The two of them together, the Tzaltz and Machteshes, were equal in value to one had it been made of gold. Tony Rav Yosef, Shnayim Shkulim Ke'echod Shel Zahav. So Rav Yosef has a Tanaic source that matches the second of the two opinions we just saw, that the two vessels together, these two copper vessels together, were equal to one had it been made of gold. Tanya Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shniim Hoyu. Shniim means they had doubles of them. That Rashi says there were two tzaltzelim and there were two machtoshes. Shneimar Shnayim Al Tikri Shnayim Elo Shniim. In other words, the pasuk itself says Shnayim, but don't read it as Shnayim, but rather understand it as Shniim, meaning a backup, so that if anything happened to one, they would have a replacement one on hand. Tony Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. This source deals with the stream known as the Shiloach. Shiloach Hoya Mekaleach Mayim B'Ki'isar. The Shiloach was a stream with a very, very narrow width to it. Isar is a type of coin. Tzivo HaMelech V'Hechivuhu Kedei Shiyisrabu Meimov. The king ordered for this stream, the Shiloach stream, to be widened so that there would be an increase of water. And what happened? V'Nisma'atu. And it actually was the opposite happened. V'Chozru U'mi'atu. And then they restored the channel to its original narrow size, and the water continued to flow. The flow was restored. Rashi says, sometimes people come up with what they think are smart ideas or wise, good ideas, and they actually backfire. The Gemara continues, the Chener of Shimon Leomer, Hardulim Lo Hoya B'Mikdash. As far as this and this line and the next line of the Gemara, there is a great deal of vagueness associated with it. Tosfos records a different girsa with a samach letter at the end. And there are other girsa differences that appear. So the end of the source has Rav Shimon Leal telling us that the Hardulim or Hardulis was not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks, "My Hardulim, what is this?" Omra by Tavlo Gurgadno, it's a Tavlo Gurgadno. Rashi offers a French word for it, and those some Sforim that deal with Rashi's French words explain it as handbells. And so the source says that this Hardulim was not in the Mikdash. I've seen other commentaries refer to it as a type of organ. Rashi, the Tosfos has in his explanation, is a hardulim zo targum shel ugov. Ugov is an instrument that you see referred to in the Sefer Tehillim, and in modern Hebrew that is associated with an organ instrument. Whatever the case is, the source tells us that the Hardulim was not in the Mikdash. In fact, the Shita Mekubetzes has an opposite gear, so that the Hardulim was in the Mikdash. What is a Hardulim? We already said that itself is vague. And Abai says the Hardulim is a Tavla Gurgadno Mitnesha Kolo, and here also you have two opposite Gersos. One Gersa says Orev, it was pleasant. Another Gersa says Ov, it was thick. Uma Arbe Vesaneimo, and it would confound the pleasant. So that if you learn this as Hardulim is referring to something that had a thick sound to it, it was very likely the Gersa here would be it was not in the Beis HaMikdash, and the reason for that would be that it would confound the sound that were made by the other instruments. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. On the outside margin, you'll notice we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we featured a Roman numeral 1 and 2, and we've explained Shnei L'shoinois, there are two versions, Hamitarim Klezemer, Hanikro Magrefa. We use the term klezemer, meaning instruments that are called the instruments by the name of magrefa. That's pshat is according to Tosfos. Rashi has a different pshat. He has it some type of that magrefa was a type of shovel that was used to clean off the top of the mizbeach from its ashes. However, we're gonna adopt the Tosfos pshat as we go on in the Gemara, because the context of this whole sugya is. The main focus is on musical instruments. Omar Rabba Bar Shila Omar Rab Maton Omar Shmuel Magrefa Hoisa Ba Mikdash. Continuing to the top of Yud Aleph Omar Aleph Asora Nikovim Hoyu Ba. It had ten holes in it. Kol Echod VeEchod Moitzi Asora Mine Zemer. And from each hole, 10 different tunes or sounds or tones could be produced. Nimseis kula motzio meo mine zemer. So if you have 10 holes and from each hole 10 sounds would be produced, that this instrument would be responsible for 100 different sounds. It's very interesting to note that even though Rashi described the magrefa at the bottom of Yud Omid Beis as a scraping device, Rashi here refers to it as a musical instrument. On the Rashi at the top says Asor Nikovim Hoyu Ba, Ubachol Nekev Hoyo Kone Echod, from each hole had a tube arising from it, Ubachol Kone Vekona Hoyu Ba Hoyu Bo Eser Nikovim, and each tube had 10 holes from it, Ubachol Nekev Shokona Mootzi Min Zemer, and from each hole coming from the tubes a different sound was made. Nimseis kula motzio meo mine zemer. Now, Roman numeral number 2 that you see introduces a different version of numbers as we continue, you will see. The Masnisa Tana, in a Tanaic source, it features hi amo o gavoa amo. Most likely referring to the magrefa, is an amo, and it has a height of an amo, and it the kato yotze meno, there was a handle coming forth from it, the asora nikovim hoyu ba, and there were 10 holes in it, kol echad ve'echad motzi mea mine zemer, and from each hole, assuming like Rashi said before, there was a tube that was emanated from each hole, and each one of those produced 100 sounds. Nimseis kula motzi elef mine zemer, and from this calculation, it would come out that the entire instrument, from the each entire instrument, you would have 1,000 different tones. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok v'simonech, in order to remember that the Braisa gives a larger number, remember Masnisa Guzma, that, and that is that you find in different Tanaic sources throughout the Shas expressions or numbers that are stated in an extreme fashion. And Rashi tells you where you can see references to those Tanaic sources. But for our purposes, we have either you have Shmuel saying 100, and you have a Tanaic source saying 1,000. And if you remember the expression Masnisa Guzmo, you will know that it's the Tanaic source that reveals the larger number. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.